You say they are America or even California. There's something new stirring? Or the same old pattern being repeated?
It seems to me to be the same old pattern.
Oh, my God. Say in California, you live in California. Is the climate being so marvelous here? Is it productive of some new state of human being, new human?
We are the product of the society in which we live, the experience, the knowledge, and all the rest of it. And there is nothing original. We repeat. And to find out anything new requires tremendous inquiry, meditation. You don't just get it by just coming to a meeting for an hour and thinking, one has to work tremendously hard. You do work very hard to earn a livelihood, to go to office every day. But this requires much more alertness, much more careful examination. And one doesn't have the energy, the patience, or the interest, because this is non-profitable. It doesn't bring you any profit, financial or any other way. Here is the question. I suffer physically, psychologically. And I can do something physically. Psychologically, I don't know what to do. And not knowing what to do, I escape. Or go to somebody who will tell me what to do. Or I put up with it getting more and more and more bitter, dull, stupid, full of animosity and all the rest of it. Without doing any of those things, can one look at that thing? Neither enjoying it nor pushing it away. Which means, can I look at it without any demand for to overcome it, to justify it, to control it, just to be observe it? Beg your pardon? How is it possible to do what I say for? Do it for a second, do it. You know, as I said the other day, the word how is the most mischievous word. Because you want somebody else to tell you how to do it. So we suffer, not willing to suffer. There is suffering. And we're asking, can you look at it and remain with it, be quiet with it? Neither accepting nor rejecting, just be quiet with it. Huh? Please, doesn't this require great meditation? No, please, do it. If one does it, you will find that you derive from that very observation a great energy, don't you? You are not dissipating any energy. It is there.
When the question such as what am I to do with myself, or however the question may be framed, there is always someone there, whether it's the advertising man on television, or the Zen master, to
tell
give
more
him a set of answers, and somebody follows these, and nothing ever happens. Because there is nothing in this culture that we're talking about that would prompts people to listen, really to come into relation with themselves in a tough-minded way.
This is young nation. You followed me.
It's a young nation.
A mixture of extraordinary, you know, thoughts, feelings, and cultures. I should have thought they would produce something, you know?
Well, we don't know quite what will happen when this nation faces up to the external crisis. They never have. Mm-hmm.
Would you say she has reached, immaturely, forced by circumstances, a pinnacle of maturity, and now declining?
This I would say.
You would say that.
When you have really faced with a problem of war, of famine, of death, of poverty and so on, you can't argumentatively discuss about them. One has to deal with them. One has to put one's teeth into them. And you cannot artificially, intellectually have teeth to put to problems that are vital. So I hope when we ask questions and go into those questions, I hope they will not be merely intellectual or curious, but serious enough to investigate for ourselves what lies behind these questions and their import. What is the problem? Hunger. Hunger, lack of clothes, shelter, all that. Now, how is it going to be solved? Not by a particular nation. As you and I can't solve the, if we went in there, we couldn't solve it. No sovereign government is going to solve this. No Indian government is going to solve it. They can pretend, and they do. So, what is preventing the solution of this problem is nationalism. My flag, your flag, my country, your country. And the division that takes place geographically, which is exploited by the politician. That is the factor, one of the major factors of preventing the solution of starvation, of feeding the people. Now, science has means of giving food, clothes, and shelter practically to everybody. It's not being done because of you are a British, I'm an Indian or Russian. So it's a world problem, not individual or nationalistic problem.
Right. Well, how do you suppose that one be able to overcome these nationalistic barriers? Anyway?
First, one has to be free of it oneself.
Wait.
One has to be free of it oneself. Neither American nor Indian nor right. Then, get up and talk, shout, do anything. For the not for the little things, but for the major issues. Then perhaps you'll sow some seed that'll take root. Now, if every human being, educated, cultured, who is really serious, wants to solve this problem, he will do something. Like war. We have accepted war as the way of life. All man has, throughout centuries. And to stop war, difference is concerned with the whole process of living as a human being, then perhaps we'll be able to solve this question of war.
Potentially, society has solved the problem of food, clothing, and shelter. So, once you've solved those problems, what do you have to look? What else?
I don't quite understand what else. You mean what is beyond these three?
Yes.
So, what is man seeking, basically? He basically is seeking these three. Because these are absolute necessities, whether California, or India, or Russia, anywhere. So beyond that, he says, after satisfying that, let's seek something else. Let's go after something else. Is that the way to begin? Is it bread first and then the other? Or the other first and bread afterwards? I don't know if you...
I follow you, I believe.
Yes. So, in getting bread, we get lost. We get superficial, we get caught in the trap of amusement and religiosity, you know, all that. But if we were seeking, not seeking so much, if we were after something more than bread and butter, in the more included the bread and butter, then I think this problem would never arise. What we are trying during all these discussions and talks here is to see if we cannot radically bring about a transformation of the mind. Not accept things as they are. Nor revolt against it. Revolt doesn't answer a thing. But to understand it, to go into it, to examine it, give your heart and your mind with everything that you have to find out a way of living differently. But that depends on you and not somebody else. Because in this, there is no teacher, no pupil. There is no leader. There is no guru. There is no master, no savior. You have to... You yourself are the teacher and the pupil. You are the master, you are the guru, you are the leader. You are everything. And to understand is to transform what is. I think that's been up, won't it?
This has been program one in a series of eight programs presenting the original and challenging thought of Krishnamurti. During the past four decades, in his writings and talks in Europe, Asia, and America, Krishnamurti has continued to explore the real revolution, a radical change in ourselves. Subsequent programs will be concerned with love, death, fear, and the possibility of a fundamental change in consciousness. The next program in the series is titled Observing Ourselves.
This is NET, the National Educational Television Network.